This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and thispipelife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing tonight?
I couldn't be better. I'm sitting here drinking Boodle's Gin with one of my best friends.
Oh, man.
And smoking Christmas Cheer 2013.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. What year was that?
It was 2013. I've been on the hunt for this for a while.
This is your holy grail.
No, it kind of is. This is my most favorite Christmas cheer that I've personally found that McClelland has ever come out with that I've smoked has been 2013. And so I've been just on the hunt trying to collect cans, and I don't I'm very unsuccessful in finding them. I can't find them. Well, anyway, one of our good friends is like, man, I got a can of that sitting in the house. I never really liked it. And I was like, hold on, what year is that? And when he said it was 2013, I was like, I will give you vast quantities of tobacco and money. And he was like, man, you're just a good friend. I'll just come bring it to you. And I was, anyway, so he gifted me this 2013 Christmas cheer,
man.
And it tastes absolutely
didn't waste any time,
exquisite.
By the way.
Exquisite. No, yeah. right to the shop. So yeah, I'm just really really enjoying it here. And my brand new Costello 55
that
I got at
pipe.
the Chicago Pipe Show. Really happy about that. But yeah, man, it's just I just couldn't be happier with my tobacco and my friend and my Boodles.
Man, I know that pipe is going to come up later in the show in terms of discussion, so I've got questions.
Yeah, kind of a nice dovetail into maybe a question of the week.
Man, speaking of dovetailing, how was this last past week's pipe show? Or I'm sorry, a pipe club meeting, rather.
Man, it was great. It was great, actually. Of course, our friend Max Stokeby came in from STG Lane, and Max, good friend of the show, great friend of Country Squire Radio, and also the shop. And certainly, if with a name like Stokeby, you better know what you're talking about with tobacco, and of course, Max does. But anyway, we had a great time and stayed up late and drank a lot of beer and smoked a lot of different tobaccos, and it was just really, really a lot of fun. So yeah, things around the Magnolia Pipe Club are going well. There's some other pipe clubs doing some cool things in the near future as well. I want to keep reminding folks that our friends in Tupelo, Mississippi,
yes,
just started a pipe club every third Thursday at Spring Street Cigars in Tupelo. They are going to have their monthly pipe club meeting, and all those guys are great friends of the shop and of our show. And, did you ever meet Jason Stacy, neurosurgeon that was regular here?
Yeah.
Jason recently moved up that way and is a neurosurgeon up in that part of the state too. I think he's going to be involved in some of that. And also several friends of the show as well. So anyway, just a lot of good friends up there. Check that out. And then also, there has recently been a venue change for the Texas Pipe Show. Texas Pipe Show will be happening this fall.
What is it about Southeastern pipe shows, man? We got to change locations.
And having to change locations. I don't know. But they had a location change, but they are very intent on everyone knowing that the Texas Pipe Show will be happening. I forget the date. I should have it in front of me, although I don't. But anyway, that is going to happen this fall, and it will be in Fort Worth.
So, Fort Worth, Texas.
So keep up with that. It's either late September or early October. I cannot remember off the top of my head.
We'll have it for you next week for sure.
Yep.
Good deal. Good deal, man. Well, hey, also locally, we got an event coming up on June 1st, right?
Yes. Yes, we do. the Savinelli is actually coming to the Country Squire on June 1st. That's a Thursday, to do a Father's Day trunk show.
And yeah.
So, Father's Day trunk show with our good friends at it's Law DC Distribution. They're best known for distributing Savinelli in the United States. They also do Cornell and Deal, Rossi Pipes, GL Peace Tobaccos, just some of the best-selling pipe tobacco-related products in America. And so really excited about that. We're going to have some awesome deals. So if you are in the Jackson area, Country Squire radio area listening sphere, we welcome you to the Country Squire on Thursday, June 1st. We'll have 20% off all pipes, Savinelli pipes that night, and 10% off all 10 tobacco products. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Dude, that sounds awesome.
It's going to be big.
Yeah. All right. So we got to also mention this as well. Speaking of deals, you dropped a bomb on everybody. Got two episodes back where you're talking about the Pipe Club has now got some special deals going on right now with the
that's right.
Yeah, the club exclusive sale. Talk a little bit about that.
That's right. That's right. So, of course, for our good friends and listeners that have decided to join the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club, which is a big reason why Bo and I can continue to do what we do. We wanted to come back. You know, I came back from Chicago with all these pipes and hand-picked from the show. You know, I just got to put my hands on them and get comfortable with the briars and the manufacturers and all that. And anyway, we wanted to kind of pass along some type of thank you to our club members. And so anyway, if you're a member of our Country Squire Radio Pipe Club, you can have 20% off of any of the pipes through the end of this month, except for the Briarworks pipes, which are 10% off.
Man.
And you can find all that information on our page at patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio. And there's listings of the pipes, there's listing of the prices and everything. And I'm trying to update as well. I need to do that, but I'm trying to update where. Like which pipes have been sold and whatnot. There's some great brands there. Costello, La Natra, Ser Jacopo, Master Geppetto, Ardor, Rinaldo, and then, of course, our good friends at Briarworks. So really good stuff there, and we encourage y'all to check that out. And, you know, just a small way we can say thank you for that.
So, absolutely.
A couple other things. I've been corrected, actually.
Yeah, I was about to call you out on that.
Yeah, man. I know. It's actually, if you're in Tupelo, the name of the pipe club is the Southern Briar Pipe Club, and they actually want to let you know that they meet on the second Thursday of each month. So anyway, second Thursday of each month at Spring Street Cigars. And then also the Texas Pipe Show. Our friends over there want us to know that that is on October 7th.
Good looking
out. October 7th for the Texas Pipe Show there in Fort Worth. So look for some Country Squire Radio presence probably-ish there. And
October 7th?
You know.
Yeah, we'll do something.
I mean, you know, surely. I mean, it's only 6 hours away. So
it's 6 hours away?
Yeah.
They paying for our ticket?
I know. our Greyhound bus ticket.
No.
Nah, that's what your thumb is for.
I got a rule, man. Six hours. I'm flying.
Okay.
I got a whole thing.
Okay. No, that's true. I forgot you do have a rule.
And yeah. I only want blue M&Ms in the trailer that they inevitably will give us
with Perrier.
I mean, that would be. I like LaCroix. You know what? Hey, you know, we'll I'm not. See me. I'll take LaCroix. I'm just.
No. Look how flexible and gracious you are. You really die to yourself every day, bud. It's true.
Well, thank you. I am quite humble. I'm probably the most
you jackass.
Humble I know. Well, hey man, we do. You know, you mentioned, of course, the specialty for the Pipe Club members. Man, the Pipe Club has grown, and in fact,
yeah.
we now have over 70 members with the induction of the members that we're giving shout outs to this week.
It's so exciting. Yeah.
All right. So, in the history and tradition of this show, prepare for me to butcher your name, Alander Cairns.
It looks like, are you sure that's not supposed to be Alexander?
See, I think that I spelled it correctly.
Okay.
But
all right.
If it's Alexander, Allender, then you let me know.
Yeah.
Alexander.
See, this is a Country Squire time honored tradition that we that we completely massacre your name. But if it is Alexander Cairns, then thank you for signing up.
And let us know if you're related to Kristen as well. I'd be curious to find
Kristen
out.
Kristen with the OneRing.net.
The OneRing.net's
yeah,
Kristen. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Who's been featured on the show twice in the earlier years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But yeah, we'd love to get that.
Mr. Cairns, thank you for joining at the Squire level. Who do we have at the Pilgrim level?
Man, at the Pilgrim, we got Pat Higgins and Stella Yacht.
Man, Sheila, actually.
Did I say Stella?
You did. You said Stella.
Stella! Sheila! Sheila! Sheila and Patrick, thank y'all so much. Welcome to the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club.
That's right. We have a patron as well, right?
That's right. We got Eric Vanderpool, who's decided to help out the show by becoming a patron as well.
And having a name we can pronounce easily.
Thank you for that, Eric. Look, if you want to help out the show, we really encourage you to do so. Patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio is a place to do it. Or if you're listening on Satchel, click be a patron right there. Those of you who are club members, I do try to make sure I spell check your name before I send you your club cards. So Allender /Alexander, I will be doing that before making your card.
Fantastic.
And I promise that to you.
I just love it. People are like, I love how we just kind of live up to the dumb Southern stereotypes, you know.
We're doing nothing for Mississippi.
Nothing for it at all, you know. People are like, everyone down here has some, like, you know, Scotch-Irish name that's really easy to pronounce, you know. And, like, in every other part of the world where people have interesting lives, you know, there's, like, you know, there's these different names from these interesting places, you know. And for goodness sakes, like, how hard is it to mess up Alexander? But you know.
It might be.
You don't know that it's Alexander.
It might be Aleander. And actually, I think it'd be Aleander.
Aleander.
Right.
AC, you let us know. And we'll try to not butcher it when you're
so terrible.
Just sorry about
that. We're not bad people, we promise.
We're not bad people, but we are people that you can come out here to see coming up for our 200th episode.
That's right.
And that's our last bit of housekeeping, I think, for this particular episode. But yeah, of course, live 200th episode. We encourage you, come on out. Country Squire Radio, episode 200 live, June 5th at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's going to be happening right here at the historic Country Squire in Jackson, Mississippi.
That is right.
If you've not done so already, you need to go ahead and get your tickets. You'll find the link on our Facebook page. We've got a link at countrysquireradio.com. It'll take you right there. Get your tickets because they are limited. And unfortunately, it's going to be like very much first come, first serve. We'd love to have everybody, but we can only fit so many people in this quaint shop.
That's right. That's right. For those of you
dainty shop.
It is dainty. It's quaint. you know, we for those of you that have made the pilgrimage to the Country Squire, I always am kind of interested to hear what people think the shop is going to be like and then what they see the shop is like. But we are just a small pipe shop, so seating will be kind of limited, but we've got a few seats left and we've had folks sign up from all over and we're excited to have y'all. So sign up if you have any questions, ask us, and by that I mean ask Bo. either way, we'll be glad to help you. And we really look forward to this being a really special time. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, man, I'm excited. We are reopening a series that we love here on the show called Heroes of the Bowl.
It's one of our oldest series, right?
It's
one
of the...
It goes back to the early year or so.
It's one of the OGs. I remember debating what we were going to name the series, and there was a lot of thought around Heroes of the Bowl, and that's the one that we settled on. And
yeah.
That's the one that we've gotten today. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Heroes of the Bowl is where we actually actively take a look at pipe smokers from history and fiction. Now, let me be clear about something up front, which is that when we say heroes of the bowl,
well, we're taking that loosely.
Very liberally. I mean, the idea here is that like it's somebody who is famous, who by smoking a pipe has represented the pipe well.
That's right.
And so from that standpoint, they are kind of heroes. Now, in some instances, they are superheroes, which we'll get into mine for this particular week. But they so we realize that there are actual, you know, there are amazing men and women out there who have done truly heroic
legitimate
things.
Heroes that have put their life on the line for you know, in some cases our way of life. And
exactly.
So that's, we don't want to belittle that or diminish that.
Exactly. And that's so right. So I want to get that clarified up front, that we are using that term loosely. But in terms of pipe smoking heroes and those that have done the pipe smoking well for the community and the culture that surrounds it,
yeah,
John David takes somebody from history. I take somebody from fiction. I kind of want you to start this, man.
Are you sure?
I think so. Because spoiler alert.
You're kind of excited too, though.
I heard who you've got on the docket here, and I'm really excited.
Are you sure?
Who do you got?
Tonight, from the historic aspect of a famous pipe smoker who we would consider a hero of the bowl, we're going to talk about a man who you probably know because there is a spacecraft named after him currently. And that spacecraft is actually not a human flight spacecraft. It's an orbiting...
Wait, who is the Millennium Falcon named after?
I know, right? The Millennium Falcon, Mr. Falcon, they named the Falcon pipes after him, actually. They did.
It all comes together.
I know, and the screw-in bowls and everything. They're so awesome, yeah. We're actually talking about Edwin Hubble. Most people today know him from Hubble telescope fame. And so the Hubble telescope was kind of conceived in the 1980s and in the early 1990s came about through, you know, the efforts of NASA and some other countries that collaborated on this. And they put a huge telescope in orbit to get the clearest pictures of the universe possible that, you know, weren't subject to the, you know, the atmosphere of the Earth kind of interfering. But anyway, that's where we know the name Hubble from, and it's actually named after Mr. Edwin Hubble. Born in 1889, he was considered the father or the grandfather of modern astronomy.
Man.
Okay, so let's just kind of put it in perspective here. Before, we've talked about another hero of the bowl on Country Squire Radio before, Albert Einstein. Einstein and Hubble, these were contemporaries, okay? These were kind of guys at the same time that were doing the similar stuff. Now, when we think of Einstein, a lot of people, when they think of him, they think of astronomy because of all the, you know, ramifications that his, you know, theories and everything did you know, as far as we think about how the universe works and stars and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, Einstein was actually a physicist and a mathematician. That's kind of his background. And,
sure.
And Hubble was much more of an astronomer. You know, back then, lay people today, you know, those of us like you and me, Bo, that, you know, aren't as familiar with
intellectual
kind of things.
Yeah, geniuses.
We don't. Yeah, no, the giants that we are. You know, we don't really differentiate a lot, probably like we should, between these two. But certainly, you know, back then and even now, you know, there's a big differentiation between what an astronomer does and what a mathematician does or what a physicist does.
Sure.
So,
sure.
These people weren't as much in competition, you know, that they might have been in today. But anyway, these were contemporaries of each other.
That's fascinating.
Edwin Hubble, born in 1889 in Marshfield, Missouri. He died in 1953. But famous pipe smoker, so many photos of him studying over these charts and, you know, with the telescopes in the background and, you know, all this kind of stuff, smoking his pipe and holding his pipe. Don't know a lot about his pipe smoking, you know, tradition, other than he was a fan of Dunhill's, which, you know, if you're a famous person in the early 20th century that smoked a pipe, it's a pretty good chance you smoked a Dunhill. And,
right.
and so we do know that. But kind of interesting, he was an all-American guy. You know, he was born in Missouri, came across, he was really athletic and, you know, well-read, came from a pretty wealthy family and all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, had an interest in astronomy from a very young age, but his father kind of pushed him towards the law, you know, which obviously America needed one more lawyer. And so we and not someone to discover secrets of the universe. So he waited until his father actually passed away to start pursuing some of his interest in astronomy. His studies took him to all over the world, but primarily places like Oxford, the University of Chicago, and then Cambridge. So, I mean, you know, just to give you an idea of that, these are, you know, the elite institution of the Western world,
yeah.
Right? And this is from a guy that came from, you know, Missouri, which is just kind of cool.
What'd you say about Missourians?
No, I'm just saying, it's like a fun, it's just like, this is from the heartland of America,
uh-huh.
You know? And he got on ye old steamship and went to Great Britain to go to one of these famous colleges, you know?
Uh-huh,
I'm just
yeah.
saying, it's kind of a big thing.
Small town boy who's all grown up now.
Yeah.
Gone off, gotten a degree. All right, I see where you're going with that.
That's
right.
It. So Hubble, you know, he, in his younger years, he kind of had this, you know, love of Britain and everything. So he wanted to study there. He went off there and then, you know, kind of really fell in love with England. And through that, had this desire. I think partially what people seem to agree on is that, you know, his desire was to kind of cultivate more of a sophisticated, you know, aura or vision of himself, right?
Oh, he wants to go off to Europe and find himself.
And to find himself.
Gotcha.
But then also, you know, when he comes back, he wants people to know that he's, you know, kind of well-read and well, you know, well-traveled.
He's
a
hipster of his
day.
Know,
yeah.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, okay.
Gotcha.
So it's during this time where he picks up a lot of British customs. And he saw a lot of the, you know, kind of folks over there, you know, doing more sophisticated things, and that included things like wearing capes when it's rainy or windy outside, using canes.
Hey, why did that go out of style?
I don't know.
Billy Dee brought it back in Empire Strikes Back. I'm just saying. That's fashion.
No, I'm just saying that there's something that should be said about a cape. But he even, you know, he wore his cape. He had his cane, and he even, you know, adopted kind of a mid-Atlantic British accent upon return to the United States. And so he was this young guy that had all these things. And of course, a part of his get-up.
I'm sorry, I've been to Britain. You probably never heard of
it. No, I know things. Well, I stayed in a Holiday Inn Express last night too. But anyway, a part of that get-up was also that he started smoking a pipe. And so it's just kind of this this aura, you know, is part of his shtick, right?
Interesting. All right,
yeah.
So because a lot of times in obviously pop culture and in storytelling, often a pipe is used to connotate, you know, this person is learned, this person is educated, this person is somebody who is a little bit classier than everybody else, especially if you kind of go back to, you know, the earlier decades.
I think that's what Hubble was going for.
Okay, so but what I'm saying is, did Hubble start that? Or was he embodying kind of that mentality?
Man, if he started that and we're alive today to know he started that, he really, his head would explode with his hipsterdom.
His hipsterdom? Hubble was a hipster, man.
I think he was like the original hipster. Yeah. Wow. He would have had a MacBook, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Notice I have a MacBook and you have a PC. Anyway, so you've got Edwin Hubble. He's, kind of got these British sophisticated, tendencies. He brings them back to the United States, and it's right after World War One, and he starts studying the universe. He's got just enough training under his belt now to have a PhD, and is more versed in astronomy, cosmology, things of this nature. And he goes to Southern California.
Of course he does.
with all the rest of the hipsters. So So anyway, with his pipe and his cape. So he goes to Southern California, and there's a large observatory complex there, and there was a telescope that was debuted in that area. It's called the Hooker Telescope, and it was debuted right at the same time, the same exact year that Hubble got to the observatory. And so he immediately took advantage of this powerful telescope. To give you an idea, the telescope he was using, the Hooker telescope, it was the largest telescope in the world at the time. Okay. It was 2.5 meters across as far as the optic lens goes. Okay. Bo keeps laughing because I keep saying the word hooker.
No, nobody knows that I was laughing.
And it's the Hooker telescope. So that's going to have to happen. But anyway, that was the largest telescope at the time. It was 2.5 meters across. To give you an idea, the largest telescope today is 10.4 meters across as far as the lens of it goes. Okay. So, he was working with just much more primitive technology. But it was able to discover a lot. So, go ahead.
Well, so that's the thing, because you got the Hubble telescope. So, is it more about his approach to like how to use the equipment, or is it how he changed the equipment?
It's not even the equipment. It's just that was the equipment that he had available at the time.
Right.
And then we're going to get into his discoveries.
Yeah,
it wasn't even really about the equipment. It was that he, it took the existing equipment at the time and figured out things that before we just didn't have the ability
to understand. Even know how to use the things you have.
You don't even know how to use the things you have. Look at me. I'm wearing a cape and smoking a pipe. So anyway, he uses this brand new fancy telescope, and he discovers something that goes against the prevailing thought of all astronomy at the time. Astronomers up until this point, or at least during this time period, once they kind of started realizing, ideas about stars and the cosmos, they thought the universe was limited to what is in the Milky Way. Okay, so think about the Milky Way is the galaxy that we are in, and astronomers at this time thought that the universe was limited to that. Okay, so like everything in the universe is in the Milky Way. The Milky Way is basically the same as the universe.
Right.
And Hubble started finding these things that people thought were nebula. And he started studying them, and he was like, no, these are a lot farther away than we realize. And so as he kind of gathered more data and started realizing, he realized these nebula were actually other galaxies, okay, outside of our own Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah,
and so Hubble was actually the person that, led us to understand that, there are not just, our galaxy, there are hundreds of billions of galaxies in the universe. And the universe is that kind of vast place. So it just was really exciting, because this was right along at the same time that Einstein was coming out with his general relativity theorems. And, you just had all this kind of upheaval in science. But all of a sudden, the universe was – we thought it was big, but it just got really big.
And we got really small.
Yeah. Which is kind of fascinating. So that – obviously kind of put him on the map, not to the point of Einstein, but, later in the 1920s, towards the end of that decade, he also determined that the universe was expanding. This is something that was very, it was very kind of up in the air, and not really, people had posited it as maybe a possibility, but folks didn't really believe it at the time. At least the scientific consensus wasn't that.
Because the Earth is flat.
Right, obviously.
Right.
The Earth is still flat. You know that. But
same type of concept, though, right? Like, you've got this new scientific explanation that the world is much larger than we thought.
Yeah, and people just thought that the universe was still static at this time. And so you've got, now the universe is bigger. Maybe it's bigger than the Milky Way, but it's still kind of static. Things aren't really changing as much as maybe they might be. And so Hubble, today we call it Hubble's Law, it determined that the universe is expanding at a very rapid rate. And you can kind of think of it almost like we're going to have a small physics lesson here. It kind of like if you were baking a loaf of raisin bread in the oven. Okay.
I like cranberries.
Okay. Let's just do cranberry bread. That's good. Yeah. A little cranberry bread or tobacco bread or whatever your poison is. Yeah. So
that's disgusting.
That's disgusting. I'd probably still eat it. But anyway.
All right.
So you've got, let's say you've got this loaf and it's full of cranberries.
Yep.
And the two cranberries that are right next to each other in the middle of the bread, as the bread grows and expands, yep, okay, as it's baking, the two cranberries in the middle of the loaf, they're not moving a whole lot. Because they're right next to each other, so even as the loaf is expanding exponentially, the two in the middle are pretty close together, although they're changing a little bit. But the ones at the far extremities, the cranberries that are at the very far extremity,
the berriest
far extremities, mm-hmm, they are expanding away from each other very, very rapidly compared to the others. So he kind of determined that there was all this change going on, that it was relative to your location, and that some places were expanding away from us farther than, faster than other places, and all this stuff. It was just very fascinating, and it came out around the same time that Einstein had kind of done all his stuff. And so Hubble, obviously, giant of physics, giant of astronomy. He never won the Nobel Prize because at the time, we'd mentioned earlier in the show that astronomy and physics have historically been seen as separate sciences. And so, astronomy at the time was not open to a Nobel Prize, which is kind of interesting. But physics and mathematics were. And so after Hubble died, they actually made it to where an astronomer could win the Nobel Prize. But anyway, so that's Edwin Hubble. He continued to smoke his pipe throughout his lifetime, even after his formative hipster years. And we're thankful for that because there's a lot of great images of him puffing his pipe.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
My mind, I feel like, was just expanded. With cranberries.
With cranberries.
Just sprinkle some cinnamon on the universe. It's going to taste delicious.
So so tasty.
All right. Well, that's good. You have brought somebody with a vast amount of intellect to the table. I have got someone who, he's definitely not an all-American hero, but he's certainly an all-Ireland hero.
Ireland?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ireland.
What if I told you that was worse than anything I have ever done on the show?
I can't. I just, my tongue doesn't work right when I try to do accents.
So, the superhero, the American superhero, very much based off of Greek and Roman mythology.
Okay.
It's always interesting to see how a lot of times when Greek and Roman mythology is reinterpreted, it actually uses the American hero narrative as kind of its source, as kind of its basis for what they do. But
okay,
regardless.
Interesting.
Yeah. The American superhero is a great influencer of kind of all superhero-dom that we know today in the modern era. However, there are several international superheroes, despite the fact that many of them were actually created by our own American-based comic book companies.
Okay.
All right. So the hero that I'm talking about today harkens from a team known as the X-Men. Now you're familiar with
that's the
X-Men.
One with Gumby.
No, you always right? go to Gumby. Why do you always go to I knew that was coming. Now, of course, X-Men.
Oh, Mighty Mouse. Never mind. Go okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. Mm. Go ahead. Mm. Russ Hicks just vomited.
I know, right? Yeah. Here's the deal. So the X-Men mutants, the uncanny X-Men, as they were called, created by Stan Lee, Jack Kirby. These were characters that had kind of this X gene, and they were mutating in front of civilization, and the world couldn't quite deal with it. And so there was kind of a civil rights narrative that was kind of going on with the characters of Professor Xavier and Magneto as kind of a Martin Luther and a Malcolm X type of, kind of characters within the comic books, except with superpowers. And so, that sort of thing.
I never really knew the parallels.
Did you not?
That's really all fun aside, I do kind of know who the X-Men are, and I never really knew that was part of the narrative there. That's fascinating.
Man, heavily so. But yeah, so Professor Xavier is a pipe smoker that we've talked about before, as a hero of the bowl. But this is actually someone from an X-Men from overseas, over in Ireland. Don't you know? Wait, don't you know? Is not a that's a Canadian thing. Yeah. Anyway, from Ireland. I'm talking about the X-Men character of Banshee.
Okay, Banshee.
Now, Banshee, younger modern audiences may be more familiar with the interpretation that was shown in the live-action X-Men First Class, with kind of this, you know, kind of young, I wouldn't call him a hipster at all. I think this is kind of a goofball gamer type. And I, knowing full well that I am a goofball gamer, I'm not bashing that type.
It fits well.
Exactly. Yeah. And so he was kind of like, you know, he's kind of this American kid that was nothing like the comic book interpretation of the character. In fact, in the comic books, if you actually go back to the source material, Sean Cassidy was actually of Irish nobility, kind of a lesser noble family, but he actually not only inherited his family's wealth, but also a castle. So he lived in a castle.
I want a castle.
In Ireland.
Yeah, really.
Which is the best. He also, he was married, had something of a bit of a tragic story in that his wife passed away. And then shortly thereafter, he moved, not knowing that before she had passed away, she had given birth to a child. Now, how he didn't know that, don't know. Comic books at the time are not as clear on some of the subjects there. But regardless, he had this daughter that was kidnapped by his cousin and raised beyond him knowing about it.
Dang.
I know. So there was this very, you know, soap opera-esque nature.
Yeah, seriously, man. Kids were reading this stuff.
Exactly. So a lot of heavy stuff that was going on with him. But he actually worked for Interpol for several years before he moved over to the United States and actually became a member of the NYPD. So eventually did come over to America. And actually, it was while he was over here that he was recruited into a villainous organization known as, a very lesser known villainous organization known as Factor 3. Now, this is the thing. Factor 3 came in. They mind controlled him. And so he was doing all these nefarious things. But one of the things that still remained about him, even though he was under evil mind control, this man smoked a pipe. And let me tell you something. Because
and we know that wasn't for the evil part.
No, it wasn't for the evil part. Because he did it beforehand. He did it after he got unmind control, whatever you want to say. But a lot of times when we talk about kind of superheroes, especially superheroes from comics that smoked a pipe, it's like this like one panel thing and they never really go into it. You know, like, oh, there's that one.
It happens one time as a curiosity. And then,
exactly.
Right. You never see it again.
You never see it again. No, not Banshee. Man, Banshee was big into this. So like he's actually known as kind of the pipe smoking X-Men for this reason.
Interesting.
And in fact, while he was working for Factor 3, it like drove all of his, you know, cohorts like crazy that he was constantly smoking his pipe. They would gripe about it. And this is the other nice
Factor
thing.
3 was the kind of,
that was the evil organization,
right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, of course they wouldn't like pipe smoking because they're bad people.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Now, this is the other reason why, you know, that like, you know, Banshee actually legitimately smoked a pipe and not just that one time is that he actually smoked an assortment of pipes. He didn't have just one style.
Okay. Okay.
And so, you know, he had
at least his 7-day set kind of thing. Right. You got to let your pipes rest even if you're a superhero.
Exactly. He had a church warden. He actually smoked a straight church warden style pipe when he was with that particular villainous hero team. But before that, he was into the more, not deep calabash Sherlock Holmes, but more of like a deep bend, you know, briar
like
pipe.
Maybe an oompaw or something.
Something of that nature.
Right, okay.
But yeah, and so, you know, a lot of this was kind of to communicate, you could argue that it was kind of to communicate that nobility aspect of who the character was. But let's be honest, we're talking about an Irish superhero who drinks and smokes a pipe. This is a negative stereotype that I think they cooked into this character. In fact, I got so excited.
Hold on, is there a lucky charm for him?
Oh, I tell you, he's just walking his pipe right there, and he's like, oh, you're always after me, lucky charms. Hi, Magneto. Don't do that. Come over here. We'll smoke a pipe. We'll have a pint. It'll be fine. Like, I'm just saying that you know.
No, I know, right?
Banshee was something. And to
that's,
X-Men's
that's interesting,
credit.
Though. No, I mean, you know.
To X-Men's credit, they tried to communicate kind of this international diversity amongst their team. In fact, the character was really heavily introduced to the team as part of the same wave that brought Colossus, which was a Russian superhero.
Okay.
As well as Wolverine, who was a Canadian superhero.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know Wolverine was from Canada?
Oh.
Oh, no. Look, there's this hilarious scene.
Well, that just changes everything.
No, man. He's still schnickety-schnickety. He's awesome. He's the most un-Canadian Canadian out there. but that's the great thing. There's this one scene actually from this terrible Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine movie. The whole thing is awful. But there is this one funny scene where the U.S. government is trying to recruit him. And they say, son, your country needs you. He looks up and he goes, I'm Canadian. Spencer's high.
I get a pass. I'm Canadian.
It's hilarious. But anyway, yeah, man. So so Banshee.
That's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So Banshee, you know, I suppose I should talk about his superpower, which is kind of interesting, which is that
his pipe never goes out.
Well, no, he has superpowered internal pipes. So he actually has super lungs and super vocal cords. I'm being serious, man.
Oh, I like that.
So the idea is that he has kind of this siren, right? In fact, the name Banshee comes from Irish folklore.
Yeah.
And so that makes sense. Where his superhero name comes from. He would use it kind of in an aggressive way, right? Of like propelling these sound waves against his villains. But he's also known in kind of a bit of a, let's be honest, goofier sense, because he's able to shout at the ground, which propels him up, which gives him the ability to fly. So he flies by shouting at the ground.
Yeah.
Like you do.
I think if I could fly because I shout at the ground, I would be at least to the Hubble telescope by now.
it is somewhat of an embarrassing scenario if you think about it. Because it's like, he looks goofy. He's got these butterfly wings strapped to his arms to kind of catch the airwaves that are the sound waves that like bounce off the ground back to him so he can catch them.
Uh-huh.
And so he's got it looks ridiculous. And it's not like he can just sneak by so nobody knows he's doing it because he's shouting. So it's a little rough there.
It's just not something he can do in a very clandestine way.
It's rough there for old Banshee. But no, Banshee is a super cool character, despite the fact that, yes, there are a lot of stereotypically Irish things about him, one of which being that, yes, he does, in fact, smoke pipe.
So let me ask, in the kind of new, what we've seen, all the movies that have come out over the past 10, 15 years that involve the X-Men, is he featured any of this stuff? I'm sure his pipe smoking is not.
Yeah, so X-Men First Class did feature him as kind of a primary character, but much like the rest of the X-Men as part of this universe that we've gotten, they've kind of over-Americanized him. A lot of the international characters, Wolverine notwithstanding, have been very Americanized. So that, like, for example, Colossus, I mentioned before, who's this Russian character from old country.
Would that make him from, like, Idaho or something?
He's like, hey, what's up, guys?
Right.
Like, you know, he's not Russian. He loses that.
Right.
Same thing is true with Banshee. He comes on, and like I said, he's kind of this little gamer, nerdy kid and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, it works for the story, but it is not true to who the character was.
Yeah, it's not necessarily faithful to the original, but...
But he did shout at the ground and fly by catching it in his butterfly wings, so, you know, you pick and choose. Personally, I would have kept the pipe, lost the butterfly wings.
The Irish in the pipe, yeah. I'll stick with that.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's great, man. Shoot, I feel like I learned something.
Sean Cassidy, Hero of the Bowl.
Okay, yeah. No, fantastic.
I feel like we almost need a dun 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 whenever we like induct people into
we should have like a Hall of Fame or something.
That'd be great, man.
Yeah, maybe we could do that. Like, have a Hero of the Bowl. Right.
We'll send like a bronzed pipe to the folks at Marvel. At this point, they've had a few members of the Heroes of the Bowl, so you know.
Have they really?
No, they had Professor Xavier and... All right, so I think that might... No, they also had Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, our first ever fictional Hero of the Bowl.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe we should have them on CSR sometime.
Hey, man, we would love to do it. And if we did, we would give them the most amazing thing that we could possibly think of. And right now, you know what that is?
A Missouri Meerschaum pipe.
Not just one, my friend, but two.
Oh, are you talking about one of their gift sets?
Oh, dude. Missouri Meerschaum has a gift set of pipes. And actually, they've got a couple of these.
Yeah.
Now, folks who've been listening for quite some time know that Missouri Meerschaum, of course, sponsor of this show. We have been bringing up various pipes over the last couple of years, several months for sure. And we talk about how this one pipe has this style, like it's the Diplomat, but it has this shape or this type of stem. Well, you can actually get in this kind of collected gift set the various pipes that we've talked about. For example, we've got the Diplomat pipe gift set, which is awesome. And beautiful pipes, comes in an awesome wooden case. It looks incredible. And it's a great thing to get, you know, for a Father's Day gift or for a birthday gift or anything of that nature.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. I was a little distracted here because, you know, the Diplomat set of pipes is such an iconic shape. Obviously, it's just an easy go-to, you know, shape that people are immediately comfortable with, holds a fair amount of tobacco and all that. But to have the two-pipe set is really nice. Speaking of two-pipe sets... that are Missouri Meerschaum pipes. You know, a couple weeks ago, Bo, we talked about dress pipes.
Yes, sir.
And I had to bring this out on air, particularly during the time that we were talking about Missouri Meerschaum, because this is just a lot of fun. So we got a present
We got some presents?
We got a present, and it's from our friend Howard. Howard is a friend and listener of Country Squire Radio from Georgia.
Dude, Mitch, oh my goodness.
And he writes,
Howard,
he gifted us two Missouri Meerschaum pipes. He says, I enjoy your show, and the one about dress pipes got me thinking. I rarely dress up anymore. So buying a high pipe, I don't either, really. So buying a high dollar pipe for special occasions is not going to happen, especially at the prices you quoted. The most expensive pipe I have in my collection cost me less than $150, and most of them seem to smoke just fine. So he said, but I did like your idea of a Missouri Meerschaum country gentleman. So enclosed, you will find my version of the Southern dress pipe.
What?
These are Southern country gentleman dress pipes.
Dude, what?
One for you and one for me.
Man, look at that.
He says, I'm not sure how they'll smoke, but I hope you enjoy them. This is from our friend and a club member at the Pilgrim level, Howard Oaks from Tucker, Georgia.
Howard, so, man.
Dude, isn't that classy?
Look at that
I'd bust that out at a cocktail party.
How about that?
Yeah. Solid black country gentleman pipe.
Look at that.
That's fantastic.
That's gorgeous. See, that's the other thing I love about these Missouri Meerschaum pipes is that you can customize them. And Howard has done an amazing job with this.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah. So incredible.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Howard, and thank you to everyone who shops from the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum. Let them know, by the way, that you heard about them on Country Squire Radio. That's a great way to let them know that you appreciate them for supporting the show. It's a great way to support them. We love them for it. We love you for it. We love everybody, and right now, I'm really loving Howard.
Yeah.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week.
Yeah.
Now, this is apropos, especially given Howard's financial reasoning for coming up with the Missouri Meerschaum dress pipe.
Yeah, the Southern gentleman's dress pipe. That's right.
This is a pipe question that comes in from listener David, who writes in asking, what is the difference between a $400 pipe and a $100 pipe?
The price and the taxes. No.
that is one difference. That is true.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. This is all we get this question a lot on our side of the counter, right? So, you know, people come in, they see a $50 pipe and they see a $600 pipe.
Oh man.
And it's just like, what do you do with the variation there? Obviously, you've got to chalk some of it up to the aesthetics of the pipe. You know, they spent a certain amount of time putting in style. They selected just an exquisite grain pattern. You know, maybe they modified you made a stem that is so customly modified that it, you know, the stem took longer to shape than the briar did. I mean, there's just no telling. So you've got this artisanship piece of it. And then on top of that, you've got the cost of the materials as well. And so, you know, there is this element of, did they put any sterling silver on it? Are there any kind of gemstones? Or is there some kind of exotic wood inlay? Like maybe they used a black palm or something to kind of accent a piece of the pipe that just makes it different. So
let's call this out, because I mentioned this at the top of the show.
Yeah.
And you kind of referenced it right here, but the pipe that you're smoking tonight, again, the carver is...
Yeah, this is a Costello.
Costello.
So this is kind of generally known as the Italian version of Dunhill.
Okay.
So it's a nice pipe.
But that's an understatement.
No, it's a great pipe. So this is, you know, as far as a factory pipe goes, this is not a machine-made pipe, but as far as a factory pipe goes, Costello makes, you know, probably 3,000 to 5,000 pipes a year, okay? And so this is one of those pieces. And Costello and a lot of your other major manufacturers like this are they just have access to the best briar on earth, okay? And that is not a little thing. So when you talk about, you know, the differentiation between a $50 pipe and a $400 pipe, you know, if you're a company like Costello, you're in Italy, you've got, you know, decades long relationships with, you know, briar harvesters that, you know, you knew the briar harvester, you knew his dad and his granddad kind of thing.
Right.
You know, you're just going to get the pick of the best woods. And so, not only are they going to have good grain, but, you know, companies like this also age their briar for an extraordinarily long amount of time. And so Costello's tend, and Dunhill's other pipes of this caliber tend to you know, age their briar for just extreme amounts of time before they carve the pipe. What that does is it allows the pipe to smoke drier and cooler, but it's also going to be much, much more durable. Okay, so, you know, a lot of these companies, they'll look at you in the eye when you buy a pipe from them and they'll say, you know, this pipe requires no break-in period at all. You know, you don't even have to, you know, try to, you know, build a break-in cake with this pipe because it's ready to go.
Because
you know,
it can take the heat.
Because it can take the heat. Okay. That's right. And so, you know, it's just, it's that kind of solid, solid piece of briar.
Interesting.
And so, you know, that's a piece of it. You've got the, you know, the quality of the briar, how long has it been aged, what quality is the grain, you know, and then all the, also the artisanship, you know, what kind of materials did they use, how much time went into the stem work. And then also, you know, I think one thing that, you know, pipe smokers, as you get into smoking pipes longer and longer, you appreciate more and more, is the thing you can't see, and it's the drilling. The drilling in making a pipe, a precise drilling that, you know, is, you know, there are artisan carvers I've, you know, met and have spoken with that have thrown out pipes that people would, you know, reasonably have bought for $350, but they just didn't believe in the drilling of the pipe.
Man,
you know? And so
yeah.
that becomes either a house pipe for this, shop pipe for them, or, you know, or they just throw it out. They're not comfortable selling it because they know that a pipe that is drilled that way is not going to smoke right. Now, what do I mean when I say it's not going to smoke right? Well, maybe it'll smoke wet because there's gaps or portions that are going to be prone to collect moisture. Maybe the drilling will be too far high up or down on the inside of the bowl. And so you might have left, you know, a quarter of the bowl full of tobacco once you get done with your smoke or
right,
something
yeah.
like that. A lot of times these pipes will smoke really hot. You see that in some major you know, manufacturers that will remain nameless, but, you know, these, there's a couple of major manufacturers that, you know, their drilling doesn't really line up. And so what does that do? Well, that doesn't allow the heat to escape the briar. And so therefore the briar gets really, really hot, almost like touching a stovetop. You know what I mean? And so you're paying for this incredible amount of precision and finishing that goes into this piece. And, you know, okay, so let's say you're a guy that smokes a pipe, you know, once a month or three times a month or something like that. Well, that might not be very important to you, you know, but let's say you're someone like me that smokes a pipe three times a day kind of thing. Well, you know, you're going to pay attention more.
You're
going to
collect on the quality of the smoke every single time.
If my, you know, man, that pipe just smokes wet. That pipe smokes hot. I can't keep that pipe lit. Like, you're going to pay attention to those things, you know? And so that's kind of where that comes in. You're not, you know, I don't recommend you go buy a, you know, $600 Dunhill for your first pipe. But if it becomes something that you do, you know, real regularly and you kind of get involved in and you realize, oh, wow, this really does smoke that much better and I'm doing often enough to, you know, appreciate it, then, you know, then save up and go buy you a nice pipe like that. Buy you, you know, an American, you know, hand-carved artisan pipe. You know, friends like our, you know, our friend Jim DeShane, Two Combs, Danny Vasquez. These are guys in America that, you know, they get the best briar on earth from places like MIMO, who, you know, also supplies some of the higher end, you know, carvers as well in Italy. And you know, so they'll use this MIMO briar and then, you know, just painstaking amounts of time going into, you know, the width of the bowl, the drilling, you know, how the grain is lining up. And, you know, some of these carvers will throw away a piece of briar in a heartbeat if it has one little pit, you know, stuff like that. It's just, you know, an amazing amount of effort that goes into this stuff. And if you are someone that smokes every day, I think you will, in the end, you know, notice a difference. Yeah.
Well, the pipe that you're smoking tonight, I mean, it looks like it was worth every penny. Because the other thing too, I mean, you're talking about kind of the quality of the design and making sure the smoke is solid. I mean, you know, you got to throw the grain in there pretty hardcore in terms of just looking just beautiful. This is a beautiful pipe.
Yeah,
you got here.
No, that's right. I love it, man. It's a great pipe.
All right, so there you go.
Our friend Brian Levine, obviously a good friend, at My Own Opinion on Twitter, he says the difference is no break in, all the rejects, and you can there's no break in period. They throw out all the, you know, rejected pieces that don't meet up to their standards, and then you can sell it for around $200 and as an estate if you don't like it. And so the, you know, a pipe like that, you know, believe it or not, actually holds its value to some extent. You know, it's the likelihood that you're going to turn around and sell a $50 pipe for anywhere near that value is not very high. But, you know, as Brian says, if you don't like that pipe, you're still going to get a good, you know, bit of a good bit of, you know, money for it on the resale market, which is kind of nice. So
that's good, man.
Great point.
All right. So great question to get in from David. Hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, you can send it in at show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, quick fire questions. Ow! All right, man, quick fire questions coming to us from the good folks at thispipelife.com. Thispipelife.com, awesome online community. Talk more about that here in a second. But first, these are coming in from Blues Piper. He actually sent us a bunch of them. He's got us covered this week.
That's great.
Next.
Yeah, good.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Yep.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Yes.
Do we have to explain?
I really don't think
do we have
don't.
To explain, I mean, the reasoning on this?
If, okay. We might to some people, but does their opinion really matter?
Next question.
All right. Movie theater. I'm going to get some hate on that one. I love cats. I will put that out there. I've had to put down our cat last year. It was
terrible.
Very difficult.
I'm sorry. I know.
All right. Movie theater or movie at home?
Movie at home.
It really depends on a lot of factors for me.
It does. Okay. If I'm, you know, watching the first showing of Star Wars or something that requires that, you know, surround sound and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I mean, there is that. But if it's just your run-of-the-mill movie where, I don't know, give me the couch, give me my whiskey, you know, maybe some good company next to me and the ability, if I get bored with the movie, to, you know,
just leave.
Smoke my pipe and come back to it. Or I don't know. I mean, I'll take it at home.
You know, I when I was speaking in New Orleans, I started off my presentation by asking a question of like, who here has seen a movie in a theater, knowing full well that everybody would raise their hands. But I made the comment, and I still think this is interesting. Like, if I was to ask that in a generation or two, would that still be the case where everybody would raise their hands to actually experience a movie in a movie theater?
Good question.
I like the shared experience of it, and I love, like, you know, you mentioned Star Wars. Like, that's the thing. Like, for blockbuster films like that, to see it in a community way, there's nothing like it. But I mean, if it's like, you know, the Minority Report, I just watch that at home.
Yeah.
You know.
You fall asleep in the, you know, last 30 minutes anyway.
Like this new King Arthur movie that like everybody's just raving about.
Uh-huh.
Like I kind of want to see it, but I'm not going to go see that in theaters.
Yeah, that's why they have Redbox.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever.
Now, the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, oh my gosh, you need to see that in the movie theaters and you need to go see it like tomorrow. It was so good. All right, country or blues?
Blues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely blues. Yeah, that's funny. Two guys from the South picking against country, but you know, I don't think either of us really care for country very much. Do you care for country?
No, no, not at all.
Not a big fan. Yeah, I grew up listening to it, but I think when it kind of entered the Toby Keith phase,
pop culture.
I got standards, man. I don't know.
Bluegrass is kind of the classic country, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah,
and I'm down with that.
That's kind of in a different category now.
Yeah,
you know, yeah,
it's been pushed down. But yeah, so blues, and then finally, car or truck.
I wish I was a truck person. Like, I aspire to be a truck person, but I'm a car person. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm completely with you on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just have no reason to own a truck. I love people that own trucks. Whenever I got to move something, they're at the top of my list.
You know, that's the thing. I think if I ever bought a truck, I would have a hard and fast rule. And that is that I can either help you move the truck with my own hands, or I can help you move, you know, your furniture with my own hands.
Right. And you did for me. I
did.
Yeah.
Or you can use my truck, but not both.
That's a good rule.
That's a hard and fast rule.
That's a good rule.
And I think if I owned a truck, I'd have to stick to that. Yeah.
That's good. That way
you're not roped in, you know, because honestly, they probably just want to borrow the truck.
That's right. That's what they're after.
That's kind of nice. Yeah.
That's good. All right. Great quick fire questions. Again, that's from Blues Piper over at thispipelife.com. Thispipelife.com, an amazing online community where if you sign up, be sure to use the code CSR when you do, because let's know you heard about it here on this show. Not only are you part of an amazing forums and to be able to participate in things like quickfire questions, but you can also stay on top of things like events. Don't count on us to get the dates right. We are terrible at that.
Yeah,
go to thispipelife.com where they actually do have a dedicated space for events going on in the pipe world. So by the way, that's a good if you are somebody who is putting together an event for pipe smokers in your local area,
that's right.
If you're a club, go to thispipelife.com. Great place to both recruit and connect with other people who are doing the exact same thing that you are. You can also follow them on on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and otherwise. But again, if you go to thispipelife.com and sign up, be sure to use the code CSR when you do. Again, thispipelife.com, use the code CSR when you register at thispipelife.com.
Thispipelife.com. That's exactly right.
Take a shot every single time.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback.
Yeah, man.
All right, here we go. Eric Karlowski.
Yeah, Eric, good friend from Grand Rapids.
I think I actually did not butcher your name, Eric. Can't wait to see you here in a couple of months. What did Eric have to say?
Yeah, Eric says, thanks for the kind words, John David. The Furniture City Pipe Society and the Indian River Tobacco Traders in Grand Rapids, Michigan, only exist because of wonderful people willing to support their local brick and mortar shops. Ow! You made my Chicago Pipe Show mystical, magical. Eric, I couldn't agree more, brother. It was really great to connect with you. And man, I wish we were closer together so we could light up a bowl more often. But man, great, talented blender, just humble, soft-spoken, smart, great guy. I really hope if you're ever up in Grand Rapids, you will check out Indian River Tobacco Traders, and man, just such a great pipe community up there. It's really, really awesome. So anyway, we appreciate you a bunch, Eric.
Yeah, big time, man. Like I said, I'll be up there in August, so looking forward to hanging out with you and the good folks in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
We also got one. Now, this is a comment in reference to our Syrian Latakia episode. This comes from Kilgore Trout.
He says, in reference to the Syrian Latakia, you forgot to mention that they had a bumper crop in 1974 and in 1983. That is the tobacco that MacBaren purchased a huge amount of at that time. He said, I'm stocking and selling as much as I possibly can. HH Vintage Syrian is my daily and is a 50% Syrian Latakia. So when it dwindles, I possibly can use it to mix. That's from Kilgore Trout. Great, great point. I guess I wasn't familiar with that bumper crop in 74 and then also in 83. But, you know, according to him, you know, that MacBaren, you know, really stocked up on it at those points and is still kind of allowing that stock to trickle out into the market. What's interesting is, you know, I think MacBaren said about this time next year, if I'm remembering right, this time next year will kind of be where they ship out their last remaining Syrian Latakia products, which is really interesting. I talked with the American rep for Brebbia and Solani when I was in Chicago, and they said they also still have Syrian Latakia. So if you're looking at Brebbia Balkan, there's also a Solani English mixture. Gosh, I cannot remember it, but it's got some Syrian Latakia in it also. Check those out. Really high quality tobaccos. They might be a little more expensive than you're used to paying, but they're worth it because they're fantastic. But anyway, yeah, we're coming to the end of that Syrian Latakia. It's kind of the talk of the town, certainly in the English blend community. So,
I mean, like, anyway, you know, when
kind
it's
of fascinating
when it's gone. I mean, you know how like, oh, it's no longer available, we can't get anywhere, but the celebrities can still get stuff,
right?
Are we at that level yet?
I don't know.
Are we at the Brian Levine level yet?
We'll never be at that level because we can't get taller, but and you know, he's gonna hold that over
over our heads. We can't,
our little hobbit heads,
we can't reach it.
It's really, really shameful, but
Brian
but
Levine,
yeah,
probably
we're not
it.
Now if there is Syrian Latakia to be had by anyone, I'm sure Brian would be able to.
I'm just saying, yeah. Man. I'm curious when
maybe
you were talking.
Maybe
you
could throw us a few crumbs. Yeah.
Hook us up, brother. I am curious though. When you were having those conversations in Chicago in the VIP suite, you know, like, was that were we all lining up the series? like the premium prime stuff that us commoners don't get.
Yeah,
all of.
I just want some of that nasty tobacco, sir.
Oh man, well, great listener feedback, and guys, we love getting that in. Facebook, Twitter, the old email, of course. Great way to send those in. But we also love getting in reviews over on iTunes. So if you have not done so already, head over to iTunes, write us a review. It's a great way to let us know your thoughts as well as kind of help out the show. We love to read those whenever we get a chance to. We also want to encourage you to keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
You can find all that information and more at CountrySquireRadio.com, where you can tune in for the live show. Those are Monday nights. That's 8:30 p.m. Central Time, 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. Love to have you join us again, CountrySquireRadio.com. Also, episode 200, it is coming up.
God, it's so soon, man.
If you
it's
haven't
amazing.
Gotten your tickets, you got to make it happen. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got folks coming in from Texas.
All the way from Texas, yeah. It's really, really an honor, frankly. I mean, that people would take their valuable time and come spend it with us to celebrate like this. It's pretty awesome.
Look, yeah. Especially for those of you out of towners who are coming in, making your pipe pilgrimage for the episode 200, let me know. I'm going to try to get you beforehand if there's some time, maybe come by over, see the studio. I'll give you my grand tour of Jackson, which is a little bit less fun than my grand tour of New Orleans.
If you got about 3 minutes, it'll work.
Yeah, we'll
squeak you in.
We'll figure something out. We'll figure something out. But y'all, we're really honored for those of you who are making your pipe pilgrimage for this. Again, episode 200, that is going to be June 5th, 6 p.m. Central Time here at the Country Squire. Get your tickets, countrysquireradio.com. What are you laughing at now?
This is Mark VV dressed up as John David Cole.
He did it! He's, yes!
Does this Hobbit costume make me look fat? And he just looks beautiful.
All right, look. So I was debating whether or not I was going to say this, but
oh, Mark,
those that want to come to the live show dressed as John David Cole in your John David Cole costume,
no,
I'll give you something. I don't know what it is going to be, but I'm going to give you something.
No,
so, come on,
it's really bad. Mark, you win, man. You always do.
He wins the internet. This is the great thing about the live show. There is always on the Twitter a live competition, I think, to out meme.
No, that's
each
good.
Other.
That's good. And, Mark, there were some solid entries tonight.
Mark played his A game, man. He was prepared.
Yeah.
So y'all gotta watch out here for the live show. That's great. All right, man. Well, hey, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.